Well, good morning and welcome again to the live webcast of Tree of Life Christian Church, and welcome in particular to the other two home church fellowships. So glad to have you with us this morning. And for anyone else that has found us on the internet this morning and clicked on our sermon audio webcast link, God bless you, and I'm glad to have you. And we're going to continue our study this morning. We've been pursuing for the last few weeks what we're focused on right now as part of a much larger and longer, several months long, actually, teaching on the nature of the church. We've been studying just most recently, and this would be part five today, of being gifted for service. The concept we're working on is that every single believer, we're not talking about every single person that just attends a church somewhere in the world, but every person that's born again, every person that knows the Lord and walks with the Lord in a spiritual relationship with Him, every single one has been called by God with a specific life assignment, and that represents His great purpose for your life, a specific work that you're called to do. And having been given that assignment, the concept that we've matched with that is that the Lord has given to each one of us individual gifts, and that our gifts are, in a sense, the tools that He's given us to fulfill our assignment. We have John with us this morning. John's a carpenter for a living. And a good one. His calling in that sense, look, and I'm talking as a natural example, his calling is to be a carpenter. But his tools are absolutely necessary for him to fulfill his work, his assignment. He might know he's a carpenter. He may have the capacity, the ability to be a carpenter. But if he's not given the right tools, there's not a whole lot he can accomplish just with his hands alone. He's got to have the right hammer. He's got to have the right saw and all of the right implements that enable him to accomplish the job, the calling that he's been given. The idea is, spiritually speaking, every single believer has been given their own calling by the Lord, their assignment, their life work, and has been equipped with specific spiritual gifts that are perfectly matched with their assignment. Now, the problem is, and the whole reason I'm spending several weeks to do this study, and not just on Sunday mornings, but we've been blending this together by God's design with the Friday night study that we're in currently in Ephesians chapter 2. And in fact, why don't you turn there to Ephesians 2 while I'm continuing this introduction. We'll read our key verse that we've been working off of again. But the concept that we're working on here is that with the idea of our calling, our assignment, and with the idea of our gifting, the sad thing that I have observed over the years, and not just in this church, but just in all of my interaction with the wider body of Christ, is that not every Christian really understands that they even have such a thing as an assignment upon their life, a calling. We all read about the examples that we've been studying recently, like Paul the Apostle. We spent some time focused on his testimony last week. I used him as an example of these principles, but it's easy for us to look at Paul and say, of course, yes, Paul was given a special assignment from the Lord. He was supposed to plant churches all over the Roman Empire. He was supposed to write 3/5 of the New Testament. I get that. I understand. Paul was called. But me, no, I'm not called. I certainly, nothing like what Paul did. And of course, Paul had these great gifts because he had to fulfill his assignment. But me, maybe I have a gift, but I don't even know what it is. And it's certainly nothing significant in relationship to him. Well, it is true that, Paul had a special calling and a special assignment and a special measure of gifting from the Lord to fulfill that. But the biblical reality is, the truth is, that every single one of us have our own assignment. And on the final day, the Lord is not going to be evaluating Paul when he looks at you and it's your time in the spotlight before his throne. He's going to be evaluating the assignment that he specifically gave to you. Now let's read our key passage, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 again. And it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." The good works that are identified in verse 10 are what I'm calling your life assignment. God has identified ahead of time, before you were ever even born, he has marked out and prepared for you specific jobs for you to accomplish during the course of the time from the day you came to know the Lord, the day you were born again, until the day you take your last breath in this world. Within those two parameters of time, there is an assignment for you to accomplish, and they are these specific good works that God has called you to accomplish. And He's gifted you to fulfill that specific work. Now, where we left off last week is we read a single verse from one of the parables that Jesus told. We actually read two, one in Matthew and one in Mark, which identified for us the principle that if God gives an assignment to someone, He's also going to make sure they know what their assignment is. He's not going to give you an assignment and just leave you in the dark to guess and to wonder. He wants you to know and to understand what your assignment is. Now, in a natural sense, for the head of a household, like in the parable, who's leaving on a journey and is placing responsibility on the lives of the servants that he's leaving behind to take care of business in the household, they have it easy in a sense because they hear his literal and audible voice. We talked last week about how none of us have heard the audible voice of God telling us our assignment like Paul the Apostle did. Yet, we can believe and we must believe that the Lord will find a way to communicate the specifics of our assignment to us. I'm blessed as an individual in the Lord because the Lord has made clear to me what my own life assignment is. But I never heard the audible voice of God. I heard His voice in other, more subtle ways. And that's where we're heading. That's what we're talking about today. I gave you a list of different ways right at the end last week that God can communicate and does communicate your assignment to you and make known your gifting, your tools for your assignment to you. We talked about what is described in one passage in the Old Testament as the still, small voice of God. This is different than what we would typically think of in terms of the audible voice of God. This is God's way of communicating just to you, where I don't hear it and you don't hear it, except as God speaks to each individual. You don't hear what He's speaking to me, I don't hear what He's speaking to you. So God does communicate individually and personally to us. But it's a small communication. It's not a blaring, like headlines on the newspaper or like, skywriting in the sky that's clear and obvious to everybody. It's something that just begins to become obvious to you because you sense the Lord is speaking to you. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we go forward. God speaks to us through the Scripture. You will be reading His Word, and a certain passage will begin to highlight to your heart as you're reading it. And this is the Spirit of God that does this. We can't, in a sense, make this happen. We might even desire for it to happen, and it doesn't happen. But when it does, you should recognize that the Lord will highlight specific portions of His Word to begin to give you a clarity of what it is that He's called you to do and to accomplish in this Word, in this world. Many times in my earliest days in the Lord, as I was brand new in the Lord and just trying to figure out what this Christian life was all about, I'd be reading, just doing my daily reading through God's Word, and I would read some portion that would highlight the importance and the significance of God's Word and the importance that people would understand what this Word is all about and have someone to explain it to them and communicate it to them. And it was through reading portions like that that would really leap out at me, like 2 Timothy chapter 3, one of the famous ones about how, all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching and reproof and correction and training in righteousness so that the man of God can be complete and equipped for every good work. And I would read a passage like that and my heart would start to get excited. My heart would start to, like, as using biblical terminology, burn within me as I would read that portion. And I began at some point to recognize this is a special stirring that the Lord is doing within my heart. By just reading this portion, it's giving me a sense of what part of all the work that God wants done, He's given to me to do. And so the Lord will use His Word in your just daily, basic, simple, devotional reading to inform you, to instruct you, to communicate to your heart what He's called you to do. He'll use circumstances. He'll arrange and design a special set of circumstances that He puts you in that no one else has been put in. And He'll use that circumstance to stir up doors of opportunity and direction for you to serve Him in. I'm going to be talking about at least one or two of those examples from our own midst here in just a few minutes, but let me hold on to that. God will speak to us through our dreams. We've studied this before. We've talked about how you'll fall asleep at night, and most of the time you'll dream. You know, they say, the scientists that do sleep studies, you'll dream for a certain period of time each night, every single night. And then you'll wake up in the morning, and like this morning, how many of you actually right now can tell me in detail in this room? We've got about, 25 people here this morning. How many can tell me in detail exactly what you dreamed last night? Anyone? Okay, one person. And that's typical, because usually for us, we'll dream and have, you can remember vaguely that there was something I was doing last night in my sleep, and it was some scenario, and it was interesting and all that, but as soon as you wake up, it's gone, like a vapor. It's just vanished. And it's because not every single dream is a message from God in that way, in which the Lord is giving you clarity about your whole life direction and His assignment and purpose for you. But there are certain dreams that you will have when you'll wake up the next morning and you'll clearly remember what you dreamed about, and the next week goes by and you'll still remember it, and a month goes by and you'll still remember it, and a year goes by and you still remember it. And now here I am, just speaking from my own testimony, I'm 28 years later, I can tell you in vivid detail a handful of dreams that the Lord gave me within the first 6 months of being born again. And that He shaped my life calling and assignment, my understanding of it, through those dreams. Not exclusively, there were other things that the Lord used to confirm and to give me direction. But you've heard me talking about how I would dream early on about standing in front of a group like this, teaching like I'm doing right now, and wake up kind of, you know, sweating because it was so challenging to me and so out of, you know, ordinary of what I would normally be doing. And I was typically, you know, identified in those days as a very shy person, a very quiet, reserved person, the kind of person that, you know, I would never have chosen to put myself in front of a group of people. And here I am dreaming that I'm doing this and doing it, you know, with a sense of power and confidence and direction from the Lord and the grace of God upon my life as I'm doing it. And then waking up from that and realizing eventually, because it took more than one dream for me to get the message that the Lord was speaking to me. And He was speaking to me about my life and my purpose and my calling. God will do a similar thing for you. He will give you specific dreams, special dreams, and you'll know them when you have them. And they'll stick with you and they'll speak to you in ways that your normal, you know, every night's dream doesn't speak to you. He will speak to you on occasion, and this may not happen for every one of us. In fact, this is an exceptional area of communication. I mentioned this last week also. God will speak through visions. He will give, on special occasions, for certain ones, a clear vision. That's where they're awake, and yet it's like they're dreaming while they're awake. He's done this a few times through church history, and He's done it a few times in the biblical accounts that we've seen. This is a very unusual communication, but we need to be aware that God can and does still communicate this way. And then He'll speak to us through our leaders. He will give those that He's placed responsibility for our lives, He will give them insight and understanding and discernment about the person that is still wondering what their life calling is. We see this at the beginning in a family setting. It's not unusual in a Christian family. We should expect this, that who will God first begin to speak about the calling of the children and the life purpose of the children? Typically to the father and mother. God will begin, if the father and mother have any spiritual discernment, if they have any heart and desire to Lord, I want to foster what it is that You're wanting to develop in my children, the children that really belong to You and You've given to me to raise in Your name. I want to cooperate with You. I want to understand what You've made them to do. I want to understand their design and their life purpose. God will begin to speak to the father and to the mother about what it is that He's shaping and what it is He's building in the lives of those children. And so we see that in families, but we also will see that in a church setting, that it's not unusual for the shepherds of the church to have a greater sense of discernment about the giftings that are developing within the body and the callings that are developing within the body. I've had many experiences over the years where I approached a member of the body and spoke something to them about their life direction and calling, where before I spoke it, they weren't really that clear about what it is that God was calling them to do. And that word that I spoke to them was a confirming or establishing element in their lives as God brought someone who is in leadership to open up a door of perspective and understanding for them about their own calling. And then he'll speak to us through one another, just our connection with one another, the interactions we have with one another. There were many times when I was brand new in the Lord where the Lord just had someone in a casual conversation say something to me that helped clarify what it was that I was supposed to do. Like we would be having a conversation about some Bible passage or some principle from God's Word, and right in the middle of the conversation they would say to me, "You know what, I've never heard it explained so clearly before. That really helped me when you said it that way." And just that little comment helped me to understand, well, maybe God has given me grace to explain His Word, to understand His Word, to share His Word with other people. And so we need to kind of clue into or tune into the conversations we have with one another and how the Lord will speak to us about our direction by speaking through the biblical and spiritual relationships we have in the body of Christ. Now, I saved the last two things on my list for the remainder of our time this morning. I may not be able to fully develop both of these, but I want to introduce both of these, and this is where we're heading next. These are two of the big clues for figuring out your calling and your gifting, your assignment, what you're supposed to do. These two clues are what I'm going to categorize as your abilities and your passions. Now, when I talk about abilities, let's take that one first. Your life abilities and your life passions. I had someone in the body ask me when I first started to develop this teaching, could you talk a little bit about what's the overlap point between our natural abilities and the spiritual assignments and giftings that we've been given? It was a really excellent question and helped me to kind of get clear where I needed to go with this particular part of the teaching. And I think it'll be helpful to you as we develop this. I do believe that in such thing as what we would call natural abilities. And I think you should all believe this, and you should all readily understand this concept. When children are born into this world, they all share certain similarities. You know, they all are alike because they're children and they're human, and, you know, maybe there's some other similarities that we could develop. But every single child, we understand this concept, every single child is unique and different than every other child. And each child has their own, what we call, natural abilities that sets them apart and makes them unique. And some people, their natural abilities are obvious right from the very beginning, and some don't really come to a full understanding of their natural abilities until they develop into adulthood. But there is this concept of natural ability. I used the example on Friday night of some famous people from history. I'll just choose one of those and use this to make the point. I mentioned Mozart on Friday night and how it's clear and obvious from the testimony of history, and I think we'd all agree with this. Mozart was a pretty good musician, right? Would you say he's better than average? Yeah. Yeah, you know, if you're going to rate everybody on musician ability, you know, musical ability, musicianship, or whatever you call it, if you're going to put everybody that's ever lived in a big pile and then rate them from top to bottom on musical ability, Mozart would certainly be listed in the top, you know, 0.1%. I mean, he's right near the top or at the top of musical ability that has ever lived. Okay? That's clear and it's obvious from what he produced in his life. Now, the amazing thing when you read a little bit about Mozart's story is, when did this natural ability begin to be obvious or evident? 3 years old. It's amazing. At 3 years old, he was able to do things musically that some people who are musically inclined can't do when they're 40 years old, in full development, at their height, at the greatest musical capacity that they've ever reached, still could not do what Mozart was doing at 3 years old. Now, what that tells me is this. Mozart, you know, whether he had a right relationship with the Lord is a completely different issue. It's a side category, and it's not unimportant, but it's not necessary to this particular point. Mozart didn't train from day one until year three in order to do what he did at age three musically. Someone sat him at a piano, and he started playing it. And he had the ability to play it without ever having been taught how to play the piano. Now, what are you going to call that? You're going to call that a natural ability, or you're going to call that a spiritual gift and grace? The answer is, it's both. It's not either or. It is a natural ability in the sense that he was able to physically do things just by nature. He wasn't trained, he wasn't taught. Now later, he was trained on top of his abilities, and he was taught on top of his abilities. But he had an inherent inborn ability within him to do what he could do with the piano and the other aspects of music that I think he made his first compositions when he was like 4 years old, something like that, where he actually started writing musical compositions that some people have never been able to accomplish even though they made the effort. And how many of you have ever seen the movie Amadeus? Good movie. If you've never seen it, I'd recommend that you rent it and see it. There's an interesting interplay between the two main characters in the movie. It's the story of Mozart, Amadeus being his first name. But in the movie, they portrayed, which really did happen in his life, there was an ongoing competition, so to speak, between Mozart and another musician, a great musician, a man by the name of Salieri, if I remember correctly. And the competition really boiled down to this. Mozart did what he did just by natural ability. And this other man greatly desired to have the success that Mozart had. And he poured work and effort and training and blood, sweat, and tears to try to accomplish what Mozart could sit down at a piano and he could write a composition in 15 minutes. And this other man would labor for a year trying to get a composition that would be just as beautiful as Mozart's, and at the end of that year's effort, he couldn't quite achieve what Mozart, you know, just spilled out in 15 minutes of inspiration. Now, that is the difference between what I'm going to call, and I'm making an artificial distinction here just so that you understand the concept. I'm going to call that the difference between ability and capability. Ability in this sense, and the way I'm using it, is something that God designs into you. Unique abilities. A capacity to do something above and beyond what someone else may do. And for His purpose. For you to be able to fulfill your assignment. Capability, I'm going to describe as, if anyone sits down and makes an effort to try to emulate what you're doing by natural ability, they can do it in measure or in part, but may never actually achieve what the person that's given that ability by the Lord can achieve just by nature, just by the fact that God made them that way. Now, the person that's putting all that effort and capability is not doing a bad thing, and it's not a sin in any sense, but it may not be what they're specially called to accomplish. In other words, I can actually spin my wheels, so to speak, pour a lot of blood, sweat, and tears and effort into areas that don't represent my true life calling. One of the first lessons I ever had about this, and it really impacted my heart because what the Lord had called me to do and the work that He had marked out for me, which was specifically to be a pastor and a teacher of God's people. My very first pastor, as I had come to know the Lord, and within the first few months, the Lord established me in a church in the area that I was living in at that time. And my very first pastor was a godly man. He loved the Lord with all of his heart, still is walking with the Lord and loving the Lord and serving the Lord wholeheartedly today. But I didn't have the understanding about life assignments and spiritual gifting to equip us for our assignment then that I do now. And this pastor, who was a godly man, didn't understand this concept either. And he was serving the Lord wholeheartedly as a pastor. But when I use the phrase spinning his wheels, that was his testimony. He was spinning his wheels because this man was not called to be a pastor. Now, can you imagine? You're a pastor. This is your life's work, but you're not supposed to be. What kind of a life are you going to have? What kind of experience are you going to have? What's going to be the nature of your service to the Lord? You love the Lord. You desire to serve Him. Being a pastor is a wonderful thing. It's a high privilege. It's a great spiritual responsibility. But let's just say, for the sake of this point, that God designed you to be something else other than a pastor. You're not supposed to be shepherding and teaching God's people. You're supposed to be doing some other job in the kingdom of God. So what's going to happen? Well, you're going to be constantly frustrated because there's work as a pastor to be done, and you don't have the ability to really do it. This is why one of the things that's mentioned in the qualifications for eldership is must have the ability to teach. There has to be a God-given ability to open God's Word, to read it, to study it, to soak it in, to grasp it, and then to be able to serve it back to God's people as meaningful and substantive food, to give direction and purpose to their lives, and to help them be clear about their own assignment. So this pastor, who, you know, is a godly man, as I said, loved the Lord, but he wasn't supposed to be a pastor. And as a result, not only was he constantly frustrated, but the church that he was pastoring was constantly frustrated. And I, being under his leadership as a pastor, was constantly frustrated because I was desiring to learn and grow in God's Word. And every single Sunday, when it came time to do a teaching, he would open up the Bible, he would read a verse from the Bible, or two, or three, and then spend the whole rest of the time just telling stories. And he told specific kinds of stories. The kinds of stories that he told happened to be in the line of what he really was called to do. And yet he didn't get, you know, he wasn't able to put 2 + 2 and equal 4. The stories he was telling was every single Sunday he would tell stories of people coming to know the Lord, being saved. What we would call stories of evangelism. And as it turned out, his gift really was as an evangelist. And he is truly gifted as an evangelist. And what we would do is he would go down, one of the things he would do, this is not the only place and the only time he would do this, but he would go down, for instance, to Hollywood Boulevard every Friday night. And it's not much better now than it was then, but it was much worse. This is going back 25 years ago. For those who haven't gone to Hollywood Boulevard on a Friday night late recently, don't. But this is what he would do every Friday night. And I was in the habit of going along with him. And he would stand there on the corner of Hollywood Boulevard. He had a powerful singing voice. And he would begin to lift his voice and sing gospel songs. And a whole crowd would just gather around. And then he would preach to the crowd. And people every single Friday night would get saved, come to know the Lord. But then when it came time to taking them and discipling them and shepherding them and teaching them, he wasn't capable of doing that because it wasn't his calling. He didn't even know how to put together a Bible study. I mean, it was an amazing thing. Yet, he was amazingly gifted to reach people for the Lord that would not listen to anyone else. That would just, you know, if I tried to reach them, they just, you know, it'd be like trying to reach a stone. And yet, when he would speak into their hearts by the grace of God, because he was gifted and called to evangelize, then God would open the door into their hearts. Now, eventually, and this is the good news, eventually this dear brother began to recognize, and it began to dawn on him that he was not called to be a pastor. And years later, I was able to have a healthy conversation with him, in which I, once I had learned these principles, was able to share them with his heart, and he got it and saw it, and he left the pastor's position and never looked back. And from that day since, he's been an evangelist and an effective one. And he constantly sees people come to know the Lord through his ministry as an evangelist. So that's the worst testimony and the best testimony combined in one that I could share with you, which is it's critically important for you to come to understand your own calling and your own assignment. To not be spinning your wheels trying to do someone else's job. You know, it's a very common thing in the Christian community when you're growing up under the leadership of someone that's called and gifted in a particular area and they're exercising their gifts, for you to assume that if I'm going to be fulfilling my job in the Lord, I have to become like that person, or I have to do what they're doing, or I have to do their job, or I have to learn how to do what they're doing. That's not necessarily the case, of course. We have a whole range, as we saw in Peter, what is called the manifold grace of God. And each one of us has our own part to play. And some of us are going to do the same thing that those are currently leading. But many of us are called into complementary, supplementary kind of roles and callings. And some are going to strike out in entirely new areas, like when we saw Clint go down to Costa Rica and began a whole new work there. No doubt in my mind that Clint is specially called and gifted to do the work that he's doing. And I would have loved for him to stay here, just because I love Clint and I enjoyed his company and his fellowship and the help that his ministry to the body provided for me personally. But I'm so blessed that he knew what his assignment was and he went and did it and is continuing to do it and bearing fruit there. And we're all blessed when we find our specific place and our specific role. Now, what I want to do is I want to take this concept of capability versus ability, and I want to develop this a little further next week, and then we'll move from there into the second of what I'm calling the two big clues that you have to discover to know your own assignment, and that is your heart passion, and how these concepts of the abilities that are natural to you, natural in the sense that God put them within you, God designed you with certain abilities, maybe not to the degree of a Mozart, but he's given you a capacity and an ability and an affinity for certain kinds of work, certain kinds of activities, certain kinds of spiritual service that come more easily to you than to other people around you, and that you are fruitful in, you do well in. And I want to talk about that a little bit more, and then we'll blend that, we'll transition into the other clue, which is, where does your heart enter into this? The things that you desire, the things that stir your interest, your passion for specific kinds of ministry and service. So we'll stop there today and we'll pick up with this theme and keep developing it. I hope, just because you've heard me talk about this now over and over and over again, that you're not growing bored or disinterested in the study. For me, I'm actually very excited about it. This is something that I've been wanting to talk about and develop for years. But hang in there with me as we go over some of this ground more than once, because my heart is stirred to make sure you really, really get it, and that you go from this point forward into the fulfillment of your life's assignment for the rest of your life. God bless you. Thank you for joining us this morning.